a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
House of Representatives will now come to order. Leading us in prayer today will be Pastor John Fetty from the Fort Pierre Ministerial Association. Leading us in our Pledge of Allegiance will be Pages Thomas Nealon from Watertown and Jesse Schuster from Piedmont.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we pause today to thank you for your gifts of mercy and grace and wisdom. Father, we are thankful that when we come again, we can receive new. So, Father, we ask again that you would help us to conduct the affairs of this body. We also pray for our men and women in the military, that you would keep them safe. And, Lord, we will thank you for the results of these prayers. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk, will please call the roll.
Representative Bartling, Bolin, Kamak, Campbell, Carson, Fonsett, Craig, Cronin, Dryden, Duvall, Eklund, Erickson, Feichert, Feinstein, Gibson, Greenfield, Hager, Don, Jenna Hager, Hayek, Hansen, Hawks, Holly, Heinemann, Heinert, Hickey, Hoffman, Hunhoff, Johns, Kaiser, Killer, Kirschman, Kopp, Lateral, Lust, Magstead, May, Mickelson, Miller, Munsterman, Nelson, Norstrup, Olson, Otten, Parsley, Peterson, Qualm, Rasmussen, Ring, Romkema, Rounds, Rosenum, Russell, Schaefer, Shanefish, Shrimp, Sly, Soli, Solem, Stalzer, Steele, Stevens, Tolson, Tyler, Vershiel, Werner, Westra, Wick, Wink, Wismer, and Speaker Gosch. Mr. Speaker, a quorum is present.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Chief Clerk of the House has had under consideration the House Journal of the 18th day. All errors typographical or otherwise are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Brian G. Gosch, Chair.
All those in favor of approving the journal will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Journal is approved. Representative Steele.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That was quick. I'm not paying attention. It's my birthday, so I get... Anyway, I would like to ask for two privileges today, being it is my birthday, if I may, Mr. Speaker. First one, I'd like to introduce my wife, Barbara. Is that up here?
Welcome, Barbara.
Obviously, my better half. And most of you, I think, have already discovered there's cake in back. Hopefully, it's going to all be gone before we leave today. There's Town and Township furnished the ice cream. So I want to thank them for that. I did have one other thing, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask everybody in here, not talking about your grandpa or grandma, talking because they've been asked about my age. I keep getting asked, what's your age? Well, I'm wondering... your mom or your dad, was either your mom or your dad born in the 1800s? Gives you an idea. My mom was born in 1898. Fortunately, she continued to have children well into her 40s. So I feel blessed that way. I'm number 7 out of 8. I really feel blessed to be here. I also feel blessed to be a part of this family known as the House of Representatives. To me, that is really special. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, my House family.
Thank you, Representative Steele. And thank you for the cake. Is there any cake left, Representative Steele?
Pardon?
Is there any cake left?
Yes, there is.
Yeah, so if anybody's hungry, there is more cake that Representative Steele provided for his birthday, and it's behind this chamber.
Yes, and I'm still not telling my age.
Thank you. We have a bunch of folks here today. Is Mrs. Mickelson and the 8th graders from Rural Mead 46-1 School District here? If you are, please stand. Maybe they're in the Senate. How about the Doctor of the Day from Aberdeen, Stuart Rendon, on behalf of Representative Fikert, Norstrup, and Kaiser, and all of us? Thank you for being here and being our doctor. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Personal privilege?
Granted.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On behalf of myself and my district make, Representative Shane Fish, I would like to call the attention of the great body to a former representative that served this state very well, Representative Ed Van Gerpen and Mrs. Van Gerpen.
Thank you. Welcome for being here. Thank you, Representative. And along those lines, also in the gallery, I see a fellow Rapid Citian, if that's the right way to say it, former mayor, superintendent, legislator, Ed McLaughlin. Thank you for being here. On behalf of Representatives Kamak and Wink, Elm Springs School, with teacher Connie Mickelson. From Elm Springs, are you here? Not yet. How about on behalf of Representative Rasmussen, John and Jane Rasmussen visiting today from Sisseton, South Dakota, are you here? You don't see them yet, Representative? How about on behalf of Representatives Heineman and Parsley, the Rutland government class with Mr. Olson, and Mrs. Troer, 8th grade history class. And on behalf of Representatives Werner and Gibson, the Lake Preston History and Government class, and their teacher Ryan Royer, are you here? If you are, please stand up. Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on State Affairs respectfully reports that House Bill 1067 and 1084 do pass. House Bill 1223 was tabled, and House Bill 1121 and 1221 were deferred to the 41st legislative day. David Less, Chair. The Committee on Education respectfully reports that House Bill 1166 and 1172 were amended and be referred to the Committee on Appropriations. House Bill 1245 was tabled. Jacqueline Sly, Chair. The Committee on Judiciary respectfully reports that House Bill 1151 and 1171 do pass amended. House Bill 1177, 1219, and 1232 were tabled, and House Bill 1216 was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Brian G. Gosch, Chair. The Committee on Commerce and Energy respectfully reports that House Bill 1240 was tabled, and House Bill 1175, 1182, and 1207 was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Roger D. Solem, Chair.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Werner.
Personal privilege.
Granted.
On behalf of Representative Gibson and myself, I'd like to introduce another mayor in our chamber today. The mayor of Arlington, Dr. Redfish.
Welcome. Representative Dryden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today I'd like to the body to meet my wife, Judy. Introduce Judy.
Welcome, Judy. Messages.
Mr. Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to return herewith House Bills 1024 and 1025, which have passed the Senate without change. Also, Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to transmit herewith Senate Bills 115, 119, 147, 174, 200, and 239, which have passed the Senate, and your favorable consideration is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Jeanette Shipper, Secretary.
On behalf of Representatives Holly and Munsterman, I'd like to welcome the Brookings County Commissioner, Stephanie Miller. Are you here? Please stand. Thank you for coming. One more. On behalf of Representatives Miller and Bolin, I'd like to welcome the Dakota Valley Business Council, including Representative Miller's husband, Buck, and the City Councilman, Art Schott. If you're here, please stand. Motions and resolutions.
House Concurrent Resolution 1004. A concurrent resolution expressing support for the 2013 South Dakota Coordinated Plan for Natural Resources Conservation. Representative Hoffman moves that HCR 1004, as found on page 302 of the House Journal, be adopted.
Representative Hoffman's motion that House Concurrent Resolution 1104 has been moved and seconded. Are there any remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hoffman.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. We get this concurrent resolution, I believe, on a regular basis, but what it really is, it's the conservation districts who are out there putting in trees, lobbying the federal government for more CRP, and doing things for all kinds of habitat in the country that we wouldn't be able to do alone with the resources of a whole county put into buying equipment, seeding, putting trees in. And if you really love pheasants and you love the outdoors, these guys are the folks that make our hunting so much better than every other state around us. Thank you. I urge passage, Mr. Speaker.
Further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question for the House is Representative Hoffman's motion that 1104 be adopted. Those in favor will vote yay. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the members shall proceed to vote. Is the Kadoka Area High School government class here? Okay.
Representative Feinstein and Tyler. Feinstein votes aye. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 69 yeas, one nay.
The motion having received an affirmative vote of the majority of the members elect, Speaker declares the motion carried and HCR 1104 adopted.
Representative Wink moves that HCR 1005 be deferred to Wednesday, February 13th, the 23rd legislative day.
Those in favor of the Wink motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries.
Yesterday, Representative Shane Fish announced his intention to reconsider the vote by which House Bill 1239 lost. Representative Shane Fish moves that the House do now reconsider the vote by which House Bill 1239 lost.
Shane Fish motion, having been made and seconded, is now up for consideration. Are there any remarks? Representative Shane Fish.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think there was some really good discussion yesterday on HB 1239, and I think we should continue that discussion with a little more information, and also I'll be bringing an amendment that I would like the body to consider.
Thank you. Further remarks on the motion to reconsider? Seeing none, the question for the House is Representative Shane Fish, motion to reconsider the vote by which House Bill 1239 lost. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The members shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 62 yeas, 8 nays.
That motion, having received a majority vote of the members present, is declared passed, and that bill will be reconsidered.
Representative Shane Fish moves that House Bill 1239 be placed to follow House Bill 1168 on today's calendar.
Those in favor of the Shane Fish motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. Consideration of committee reports.
Representative Less moves that the reports of the standing committees on Ag and Natural Resources on House Bill 1002 and 1167, and on local government on House Bill 1158, and on health and human services on House Bill 1233 of the House Journal be adopted.
Those in favor of the Lust motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 147, an act to revise certain provisions relating to domestic abuse and protection orders. House Bill 174, an act to provide that an out-of-country foreign judgment need not be recognized if the cause of action resulting in a defamation judgment obtained in a jurisdiction outside the United States unless a court in this state first determines that the defamation law applied in the foreign court's adjudication provided at least as much protection for freedom of speech and press as would be provided in this state by enacting the Free Speech Defense Act.
It's a long title. We need a title amendment. Speaker signed Senate Bill 115 to Agriculture, Senate Bill 119 to Commerce, 147 to Judiciary, 174 to Judiciary, 200 to State Affairs, 239 to Appropriations. Consent calendar items.
Representative Lust requests that House Bill 1083 be removed from the consent calendar.
House Bill 1083 will be removed from the consent calendar and placed on the calendar for the 21st legislative day.
Senate Bill 48, an act to authorize the Transportation Commission to establish rules governing the allowance, placement, and maintenance of newspaper vending machines at interstate rest areas. Senate Bill 49, an act to establish the fee charged by registers of deeds for documents filed by the Department of Transportation disposing of highway right-of-way that is no longer needed for highway purposes.
The consent calendar bills, having had their second reading, are up for consideration and final passage. Are there any questions? Seeing none, the question before the House is final passage of the consent calendar bills. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The members shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 70 yeas.
The consent calendar bills, having received a majority vote of the members elect, are hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the titles? Seeing none, titles are deemed correct. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 1029, an act to exempt persons hunting mountain lions from the requirement to wear fluorescent orange exterior garments.
House Bill 1029, having had a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Kopp.
1029 comes to us from the Game, Fish, and Parks. And if this bill passes, it would discontinue the requirement for anyone hunting mountain lions to wear blaze orange. Part of the reasoning behind this, of course, is that there aren't that many hunters in the woods during that time, and most hunters that are hunting mountain lions are wearing some type of camo. They usually have a electronic call that they can set up maybe 100 yards from where they're sitting, and so they're so totally dissociated with some of the things that they use. But anyway, if we pass this, and I would encourage you to go ahead and pass it, this would discontinue the requirement to wear blaze orange if you're going to hunt mountain lions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Virtue.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, fellow members of the House. You know, I'm going to urge you to resist this and vote no. I think it's vital that we wear orange to protect ourselves when we're out hunting. I just want to recount to you that it was in the committee they talked about comparing this to turkey hunting where you wear camouflage. And I want to remind everybody that about 90% of the turkeys are hunted with shotguns. And I doubt if 0% of lions are hunted with anything but a rifle. Also, the last death that we had in our area happened in Custer County, not too very far from where I live, where a father was hunting turkeys with his son, and he was using a rifle, and there was no orange, and he shot and killed his son. And I think we ought to take a long, hard look at this before we say if you're hunting anything with a rifle, that you don't have to wear orange. Please resist this. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Hoffman.
Mr. Speaker, members of the body, I would be remiss if I didn't come forward with this change in statute coming from within the Game, Fish, and Parks themselves, knowing that they're responsible for all the rules and regulations, and there have been zero cases involving the hunting of mountain lions with electronic or mouthpiece calls. And I think I'd urge you to resist the last speaker's recommendation that you go red on this, and I'm asking you for all the right reasons to go green, please. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question for the good gentleman that's carrying the bill.
State your question, please.
Just curious, was there any testimony that was heard from individual South Dakotans requesting this, or was all the testimony by Game, Fish, and Parks?
Representative Kopp, would you like to answer that question?
I don't know.
Representative Nelson, you still have the floor.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to offer that question to anybody that sat through the committee hearing that may have heard the testimony, if they could answer that, the good body.
Would any other member like to answer that question who was on the committee? Representative Qualm.
It was just from the Game and Fish. And it's not that you can't. You can. It just gives you the option. You can wear it if you want to. And they also said that mountain lions can distinguish orange. So they can distinguish colors. So I'm not sure I want to be wearing orange when I'm on mountain lions if they can know that I'm something other than what they're normally after. So,
all right. To follow up with that question, sir, is there any chance that the deer could see orange? Because I didn't get one this year. Thank you, sir.
Further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question for the House is final passage of House Bill 1029. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote.
Solemn votes aye. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 59 yeas, 11 nays.
House Bill 1029, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1168, an act to increase certain levies relating to predator control districts.
House Bill 1168, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I bring to you House Bill 1168, which will allow the predator control districts to increase the assessment that we assess on ourselves as livestock producers in order to pay for our predator control program. The predator districts are set up by a majority vote of the livestock producers, and then any increase in the predator tax that we, the fee or assessment that we put on ourselves, has to be approved by at least 51% of the livestock producers. It is only charged to the livestock producers, and it is used by the predator district for our aerial hunting programs to get rid of the coyotes. Up in my area, I have two predator control districts. I live in Harding County. Harding County is part of the multi-county district. We have Harding County, Butte County, Lawrence County, and Meade County. And the east side of our ranch is in Perkins County, which has its own predator control district. If any of the predator control districts want to raise this assessment, it has to be approved by 51% of the livestock producers, who are the only ones who pay this tax. The reason we're bringing it now is because we have had such a huge explosion of coyotes and other predators that our predator control districts are out of money. We use this money mostly to hire the aerial hunters, the sky pilots, so to speak. And in the multi-county district, we have five active aerial hunters that are paid with this tax on us as livestock producers. We need help. We need to have this raised, and it won't affect any of you as taxpayers. And now, there's been some interest in the eastern part of the state in forming predator control districts because we understand that the predators are eating you guys up, too. And if you need to know how to set this up, go to Statute 40-37-1 through 19, and it'll give you everything you need to know. I encourage you, I plead with you to please go green on this because we really need help.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Cronin.
Question of the sponsor.
State your question, please.
Is this the same predator control district that we just authorized to spend $300,000 by, estimated $300,000 by the increased fee on hunting licenses?
Representative Olson, would you like to answer that question?
Yes, I would. That didn't go specifically to one predator district. That goes to predator control across the state, and it will go to every predator control district and every predator control person. It'll help with state trappers, everybody. It has to be spent within 2 years.
Representative Crony, still have the floor.
Just to follow up. How many predator control districts are there, and are they where are they located?
Representative Olson, would you like to answer that question?
Yes, I'll answer it as best I can. Like I said, we've got two up in our area, the multi-county district and the Perkins County Predator Control District, and then I understand there's another one in Fall River County, and I believe there's another one that's East River, but I'm not... Oh, to East River, I see from my good friend up there in the almost front row. So, thank you.
Representative Crony, you still have the floor.
Further remarks?
Speaker.
Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question to the sponsor.
State your question, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I need a clarification on this. Are we talking the four-legged coyote or the two-legged coyotes down in Vermilion? And do they have a district down in Vermilion?
Any cogent questions? You do not have to answer that. Further remarks? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question for the sponsor.
State your question, please.
In previous years, I want to say maybe 2 years ago, we were given statistics that it was a cost of, I believe, in about an average of $220 per coyote or fox who are used for this predatorial control from the air. And I'm just curious, could we not come up with a better process that would engage the South Dakota hunters in this that would be a little bit less, maybe more cost-effective? And I'm just throwing that out there, and I'd like to see what you have to say.
Representative Olson, would you like to answer that question?
Oh, yes, I would. I believe the figures you're talking about is the Wildlife Services plane that's statewide. That's where those figures came from. This does not go to fund that. This goes to fund just our aerial hunters that we hire. They're all of them are neighbors of ours. They're all licensed, and they're approved predator hunters from the area. And there's no tax money involved in this at all. There is in the program you're talking about, but this has nothing to do with that. This is just assessment on the local producers.
Representative Nelson, you still have the floor.
Thank you for the clarification, sir. Madam.
Further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question for the House is final passage of House Bill 1168. This will be a two-thirds vote for the increase in allowable tax levy. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote.
Speaker.
Representative Rompkamuk.
Personal privilege, please.
Granted.
Present today in the House Gallery are members of the South Dakotans for the Arts and the South Dakota Arts Council. If you'd please stand. To recognize and also the recipient of the Governor's Award for Creative Achievement in the Arts, sculptor Dale Lamphere from Sturgis. If you'd wave, please. Welcome.
Welcome.
And just a reminder that tonight is the banquet at 6 o'clock at the Ramcota for the South Dakota for the Arts. Thanks.
Representative Feinstein, Hawley, Miller, Wismer. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 64 yeas, 6 nays.
House Bill 1168, having received a two-thirds vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct. I'd like to welcome, on behalf of Representatives Greenfield and Tolson, the mayor of Redfield, and it says people. So are there other folks from Redfield? If you're here, please stand and be recognized.
House Bill 1239 has had its second reading.
House Bill 1239 is now being reconsidered. Are there any remarks? Representative Shane Fish.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have an amendment.
Is that 1239 JA?
It is.
Has it been distributed?
Yes.
Do you move it at this time?
I do.
That motion having been made and seconded is now up for consideration. Remarks, please. Representative Shane Fish.
This amendment will take off the 40 cents levy and bring it back down to 30, where 30 cents per $1,000 valuation, where it currently is now. It'll just leave the valuation the way it is, and then it'll just include the rest of the bill.
Thank you. Further remarks on the motion to amend? Seeing no further remarks, those in favor of amending will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. Back on 1239 as amended. Further remarks? Representative Craig.
I believe that the bill heard yesterday was mostly about the local option. And if anyone should have voted green on this, it would have been me, especially as I have been touting local control. Yesterday, two proponents of this bill encouraged this House to maintain the direction of voting in favor of local control. But I voted against the bill because as it was being debated, I determined it would be generally perceived and reported as more of a tax increase than a reasonable adjustment to keep up with the times. In 1989, when the 30 cents per thousand was set, a Big Mac was $2.02. In the beginning of 2013, it was $4.37. I actually looked that up. There's actually a site called the Big Mac Index. I know that's important to you all. Nonetheless, with the amendment, we can give school districts the flexibility that they are requesting and, more importantly, the accountability they should have to the residents, staff, and faculty members in their districts for the positive and negative consequences to their financial decisions. And I encourage green vote on this. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Norstrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House. And I would ask for you to oppose this bill because I think we're going down a path that we're going to regret someday. In my experience up here and also looking back in the history books of what past legislators have done since 1997, and I'm going to talk about a different fund here, but it will prove a point, I think, is the capital outlay fund. In the last 16 years, we've made 7 changes, and almost every single one of them, maybe except one, expanded the definition or how that fund is used. And I think it's just a mistake to keep on giving more and more flexibility because we have a dedicated source of funding for a reason. It's not any different than what we do up here, that we have the gas tax revenue going to a dedicated source for roads. There's a reason that those funds were put in place, and just keep on expanding the definition dilutes the original purpose of those. And also, just to compare it with the capital outlay fund, there's a bill. It was supposed to expire here this year, and we're going to extend it again. So once again, like I said, once you go down that path, it just keeps on opening up, and there's no safety net. This is a fund that's dedicated for the pension part of the budget, but there's not a percentage control like on the capital outlay side that says so much can be used for pension. So healthcare, since the costs are going through the roof, it could consume the whole pension fund. And we'd be back later, and they would ask for a tax increase so they could cover the pension fund and the healthcare fund, or move it to capital outlay. It's just a path that I think we're going to regret if we extend this. So I would ask for you to oppose this bill. Thank you.
Further remarks? Representative Dryden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, rise in opposition to this bill. I understand what they're trying to do, but, however, my concern is that you open up this fund for expenses other than the intended purpose of the fund, and that's retirement and pension. By opening the fund up, health insurance expenses will be shifted to the pension fund, and at some point, the districts will not have enough money to pay their pension. As health costs keep going up, they'll keep shifting more money to the pension fund, and at some point, there will not be enough money to fund the pension, which is the intended purpose of the fund to begin with. So I urge your vote no on this bill.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Hager.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yeah, I rise to echo the comments of the member from Brown County and the former school administrator, legislator from Rapid City. I have a problem with this because it involves what I call scope creep. Once you introduce a piece of legislation like this, next thing you do is we're back next year expanding, and then we have the exact sort of problems that the previous speakers mentioned. I urge you to vote no on this legislation.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to commend the shorter, narrower, softer-spoken representative from District 19 for bringing this bill forward. He bit off a lot in his rookie year here in Pierre, bringing forth a bill that had two elements in it. Yesterday, we discussed the tax increase element, and that was soundly defeated on the floor. Today, we're talking about the policy issue. If you take a look at the numbers across the state, not all schools are taxing at the max, at the maximum of 30 cents for pension. Some are right now. Some of those weren't a couple years ago. The rate fluctuates. I guess what I'm asking for us to consider here today is allowing the local schools to manage their money matters the way they see fit. They are all subject to votes at the local level and so on and so forth. This does provide a little flexibility that will go a long way for some schools currently, and may well help some in the future, as the rate would otherwise come down as the pension fund fills up and so on and so forth. The superintendent from my home district testified in committee that they are not taxing. They don't levy currently for anything on the pension side of things. The pension fund, I think, was substantial. They've taxed over the years, and now, because the fund is healthy, they don't currently levy anything. I'm not here to micromanage. We already have some pretty solid restrictions in place on how schools are allowed to spend their cash, what certain funds can be used for and whatnot. I would ask that we just provide a little bit of a breather, a little bit of flexibility for the schools. And I would also share this. It was implied in testimony in committee that if the one school in particular was able to free up some of the dollars in the pension fund and use it to purchase health insurance, that it may stave off an opt-out for the foreseeable future. So with that, I'm asking for you to go ahead and go green on this. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Boland.
Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Latterell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question for the sponsor of the bill.
State your question.
Thank you. My question is, does this bill, in your mind, do away with the specificness of this fund for pensions? Is that eroding, as some of the previous comments have mentioned, that protection?
Representative Shane Fish, would you like to answer that question?
Yes. I don't believe that at all. The pension fund mostly covers retirements, or contributions to the South Dakota retirement system. That's kind of a requirement. They're required to match 6%. It can also be used for early retirement and other things. But, the retirement's very important to teachers. They're not going to do away with that fund. It's mainly to use the extra funds that they have for health insurance.
Representative Latterell, you still have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On a follow-up, not a question, but just a comment, and I'd like to hear more from other members on this, is whether this is actually just a policy decision to take away this restriction that these funding source goes only to pensions, And in that case, if a school district's only using this for pensions at the present time, and they decide, well, we don't need any more for pensions, so we're going to stop levying this tax, and now we change the definition of this revenue stream to include other things such as health care, which could consume large portions of the budget, it seems like we could effectively be eliminating this specific revenue stream and just saying, now this 30-cent levy can be used for anything. So if anyone has a comment on that, I'd welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Wick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, fellow members. I, too, would like to compliment this young first-term legislator at the magnificent job he's done, but I think he's making a mistake, and it's a mistake that we need to make sure doesn't happen. And in this case, when I say it's a mistake, what I'm looking at is that the funding formula will be distorted for those about 30 or 35 districts that aren't already taxing at the max levy. If they do start taxing there, it's going to increase the taxes in those 30 to 35 districts. And so it is a tax increase if it's used at all for those districts that can use it. The other districts that are already taxing at the maximum level for the retirement funds, they won't see an increase in taxes. But when you take these dollars out and take them out of the formula the way they're supposed to be in the general fund and give them another source, then it creates more dollars going from the state into those individual districts because everything gets balanced out and they don't look at where the dollars go. It's on the order of what we did with the capital outlay fund when we started to pull some things out and let them use it for school buses in some cases and for books and so forth. We're distorting the school aid formula. And I think we need to be careful of that. For that reason, I would request a red vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Slott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question for the sponsor.
State your question, please.
Yes. Currently, school districts that are levied at the 30 cents, and if they have dollars left over, do they just keep that in a fund that keeps building, or are they able to spend it on something else?
Representative Shane Fish, would you like to answer that question?
The pension fund is for the pension fund. They can't switch that over to general funds. That's why we're bringing this to allow them to use the funds they currently have for health insurance. And that's the only thing they can use it for. We're not opening the door to anything else. It's specifically in the bill for health insurance.
Representative Sly, you still have the floor.
Yes. May I have a follow-up question?
You yes. Absolutely.
Do you know if there are districts who have in excess of those dollars currently in their pension funds, if they're levied at that level, or is it all being spent?
Representative Shane Fish, would you like to answer that question?
Yes. I'll mention one specific school, Clark School District, and the superintendent brought this in committee. They're not currently levying right now at the 30 cents, but they have a surplus around $400,000 in their pension fund. Their health care costs around $90,000. If this bill passes, they can use $90,000 from the $400,000 they have and use those for health insurance costs, possibly delaying or putting off an opt-out and actually saving the taxpayers' money.
Representative Slaw, you still have the floor. Further remarks? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Honorable representatives, great people of South Dakota. I'll keep this brief. I rise in defense and support of my much better-looking, younger, less gray-haired, smaller district mate. And I do thank him personally. I worked with this bill with the superintendents from our district. They contacted numerous superintendents across the state of South Dakota, and they felt that this was a viable tool that they could use in these trying times with the budget crunches that all state entities are facing. And when we get down to the brass tacks of it, really, this is only allowing them the versatility to deal with the ever-changing problems of trying to finance our schools here in South Dakota and taking care of our teachers. I think it is a reasonable tool. A lot of us had concerns about that it was a tax raise. And I think the suave, good-looking gentleman from Clark addressed that this is simply a policy adjustment. And I would ask you, please go green on this. This is what our constituents asked for, the experts. We always talk about the experts. Superintendent Lynn Blossman is one of the sharpest people you ever can meet.
He talked with a lot of the superintendents in the state of South Dakota. They put their heads together. They came up with this. And I think we should at least give them the opportunity to use this tool in taking care of the teachers that teach our kids. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hayek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the body. I did not plan to speak on this, but it concerns me deeply because I don't think that there's a safeguard built within this bill to ensure that we don't end up doing what our federal government has done with Social Security. And we are taking from Peter to pay Paul, and we can only do that for so long. It makes a lot of sense what has been brought to us by the representative from Bonham, Douglas, Hanson, and Hutchinson, McCook counties. Thank you. But I do think that we maybe need to put a little bit of more protection into the bill to make sure that we don't erode that pension fund that is there for the teachers. I do not want us to end up in the mess that our federal government is in right now. So I would encourage a red vote at this time.
Further remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In my former life, as many of you have, I've served on a school board for 12 years. And I think it's time that we put a little faith in those school boards. They're elected by the people. They're responsible to those people. And to allow them just a little bit of flexibility, I think this is a good bill that it does that. They are very prudent with their dollars. They will watch their pension funds. Let's put a little faith in those local people and vote yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Rosem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question for the sponsor, please.
State your question.
It's my understanding that this money that's being held is used to make the match. It is not the teacher's retirement fund or pension fund, because that's held by South Dakota Retirement. Is that correct? That would be my question.
Representative Shanefish, would you like to answer that question?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. Representative Rosen, you still have the floor.
That's good. Thanks.
Further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, Representative Shane Fish.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to address a couple of things such as capital outlay. You know, there's restrictions on that. It's only going to certain things somewhat related to capital outlay. You know, there's stipulations on that, and that flexibility has been invaluable to schools who've used that. Also, as far as watching where this money is spent, schools are required to have an audit. The auditors come in, they check where the money's going. It's not going to just fly all over the place. And I've participated in a lot of school audits in my work, and it's there's oversight on it. I just want to address that concern.
Thank you. Further remarks? Seeing none, question for the House is final passage of House Bill 1239 as amended. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the member shall proceed to vote. Be a majority vote now. Majority vote. The levy increase was taken out. On behalf of Representatives Killer and May, we'd like to welcome Jamie Herman, the principal, and Dave Orban, the teacher at the Kadoka Senior High School and their senior class. Are you here anywhere? Please stand up if you're here. And on behalf of Representatives Kamak and Wink, I'd like to welcome the Union Center students and the Elm Spring students and teachers and staff. If you're here, please stand up. They're in the back. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 53 yeas, 17 nays.
House Bill 1239, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct. Thanks, Is the Wabe, are the Wabe students here? If you are, please stand up on behalf of Representatives Greenfield.
Mr. Speaker.
And
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Rasmussen. Granted.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House and in the gallery. I would like to have my husband's brother and his wife, John and Jane Rasmussen.
Welcome to our Capitol.
They are here with the Arts Council and very special people to us.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Feinstein.
Mr. Speaker, on the previous bill, 1239, I believe there should have been a title amendment.
Representative Shane Fish.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have an amendment.
Is that 1239 JTA?
It is.
And do you move it at this time?
I do.
Those in favor of the title amendment will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. Title is amended. Second reading of Senate bills.
Representative Luss moves that Senate Bill 41, 45, and 23 be deferred to Thursday, February 7th, the 20th legislative day.
Those in favor of the Luss motion will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. There being no objection, the House will revert to order business number 5, reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that House Bill 1026, 1027, 1042, and 1043 were delivered to His Excellency the Governor for his approval at 9:25 a.m. February 6, 2013. Also, Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Office of Engrossing and Enrolling has carefully compared House Bill 1024 and 1025 and finds the same correctly enrolled. Respectfully submitted, Brian G. Gosch, Chair.
Announcements. Representative Lust.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House State Affairs Committee will meet in 15 minutes to take up four or five bills in room 414. 15 minutes in 414.
Thank you, Representative. Before we do further announcements, I need to sign a couple of acts. Speaker signs an act to provide for the addition of certain employees of the municipality of Sioux Falls to the South Dakota retirement system. Speaker signs an act to revise certain actuarial and reporting requirements relating to the South Dakota retirement system. Further announcements? Representative Hoffman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Tomorrow morning, 7:45, House Ag, we have a full docket. It's being termed the Hoffman and Gibson Day in the Ag Committee. Thank you.
Further announcements? Representative Virtue.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Transportation will meet at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Further announcements? Representative Carson?
Thank you. Appropriations starts at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Come join us and find out how we're spending your money.
Further announcements? Representative Greenfield?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Tomorrow morning, tax will be taking up final action on three bills that have been previously heard, and we will have yet another new bill beginning at 8:15. And Mr. Speaker, if I might, it's a little bit humbling when you see somebody in the gallery who used to play t-ball and he's now a senior in high school. He was one of my t-ball players, rather. So
that was the one from Wabe.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Further announcements. Representative Tolson.
Personal privilege.
Granted.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to introduce the Hamlin senior class and their teachers, and I want to welcome you here. Please stand.
Welcome. Further announcements. Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. in local government, I'm going to ask you members to start thanking spring because we will be taking up golf carts, amongst other items. Thank you.
Representative Munsterman.
Health and Human Services, tomorrow morning, 7:45 a.m.
Further announcements? Seeing none. Representative Steele.
Mr. Speaker, I move we adjourn.
Those in favor of adjourning will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
We are adjourned.